Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
All right, let's move on to the next one. We got Mickie James defeated Trish Stratus, took the women's title. One of the matches that they've hyped up, I mean, they've been building this match up forever and a half, and in the end, it was Mickie taking the title. What did you think of that, the decision to put the belt on her and the way it played out?
Up until that time, that was the best match on the card, I thought. They had, Trish and Mickie had a hell of a match. Also, again, knowing Mickie and knowing where she came from and what she's been through to get into the business, I thought it was a well-deserved win. I thought it was a well-deserved match to be on Mania. And I was, once again, pleasantly surprised. I had seen Mickie wrestle through the years on tape and live, and I was a little skeptical about how Trish and her would mesh. For some reason, I was cringing when I thought about the match. But then they came out and they pulled it off. I thought it was a hell of a match, and I do think that it was a good move taking the belt off Trish. Let somebody else run with it for a while and see where Mickie's persona goes from here. She's really talented, and she can. If she's given the ball and she's let loose with her natural ability, not only she does the cycle a little too well for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but that's great because, you know, there's so many avenues that can go down with that one. Okay. But I thought it was a hell of a match.
Well, she's improved just in the time that she's been with WWE. I mean, from her debut match to now, I think that it's been good. And I think one of the things about this match itself was that it's at least renewing some sort of attention to the women's division. And when you couple in the fact that this match got a pretty good reaction and a lot of people were really into it, and the pillow fight between Tori Wilson and Candice Michelle, the buffer match between the two main events, got boring chance. I mean, that did not get a good reaction at all. Do you think WWE is going to start to realize that you can have TNA on the show, but, I mean, not TNA on the show, but you have to kind of, you know, put a focus on respect for the top level of the women's division? Because, I mean, fans might not love women's wrestling, but, you know, they like it better than meaningless stuff.
No, I don't think that at all. I think there's always going to be the pillow fights. I think that they believe, and they will all, well, I can't say always, but I think for right now, the belief is there's going to be the 12, 13, 14-year-old boys that want to see the hot chicks on a bed do a pillow fight.
Yeah.
Whether it's the right belief or not, I think that's what they're going to think, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. Respect for the women's division is going to be not a high priority.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to, we got Boogeyman against Booker and his wife.
Oh, my favorite, man. Go ahead.
What'd you think about it?
Man, well, here's the deal. We all knew what it was going to be. It shouldn't have been long, didn't go long. But when I saw Booker trying so hard to save the match, and you could see where the Boogeyman was just completely lost, you know, I felt for him. I felt for both of them.
Yeah.
Because it was just, it should have been a lot shorter, and maybe it was, I don't even know how long it went, but it went way too long for me.
Once
the entrance is done, you know, then the bell rings and we're lost.
It's the end of it. Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those kind of gimmicks. I think it sucks, but a lot of these characters, and Boogeyman, with his wrestling ability or whatnot, it kind of comes down to the fact that, you know, he has great vignettes, he's got great promos, he's got great openings, and his whole character and the lights and the laughing or whatever, but, I mean, once the bell rings, 90% of that stuff is out the window, and you just have two guys in the ring wrestling, and, I mean, in the end, is it a waste of a gimmick to give such a good gimmick that gets over with fans to somebody who can't do anything once the bell rings?
Well, here's the thing. If you've seen him on SmackDown, how long has his match gone? 30 seconds?
Yeah, not long at all.
He's done nothing. He just kills a guy. It's like the Ultimate Warrior. Once it's past the minute and a half mark, oh, it's death, and it's a slow death. I don't know if it's a waste of a good gimmick or not, because there's going to be gimmicks like that forever in this business, and there always has been. There's always been the guys that could not work a lick but my God, people want to see what they look like, you know, and then all of a sudden, once they've seen him, next.
That's the end of
so
it.
I think the shelf life with the Boogeyman it may not be as long as Boogeyman would like it to be, but at the same time, you know, it may be longer than some of us hope it should be.
So you bring that up, and it's funny because they did the skit right beforehand to sell the match. Was that hallway of horrors that every ridiculous gimmick, not everyone, but I mean a bunch of ridiculous gimmicks. You had Snitsky licking Mae Young's toes. You had TiBiase doing the basketball shot with Eugene, and you had Goldust. What do you think of that skit? Do you think, you know, was there a message behind it? I mean, I enjoyed it, and I think a lot of people enjoyed it. What do you think about it?
I think the message behind it was, let's get these guys on camera, they're here. It's just a way to let everybody know that WWE is a fun place to watch, fun show to watch, and you're going to have your freaks and geeks and crazy people, and oh my God, I can't believe Snitsky was licking that old lady's foot, and oh my God, did you see Eugene, and oh my God, did you see how big Ted DiBiase looked, and oh my God, there was Goldust again, and all that stuff. Just the fact that to show, hey, because they all kind of gathered around like the geeks at the carnival, you know, at the end when Goldust was talking to Booker, it's showbiz, man, and it is a TV show and it is a pay per view, and that's the way the powers that be are looking at it, as you know, sports entertainment and showing everybody how diversified pro wrestling has become. It's not just good versus evil, two guys in there wrestling in a pair of trunks anymore. No, you got your freaks, your geeks, your funny guys, your entertaining guys, and all that's Ted DiBiase, used to be the million dollar man, and all that stuff. I mean, that's what I think was the message behind it, just showing that WWE is still part of the circus, man.
See, what I liked about it, I think it was one of the first times in a little while that it almost seemed like they got the joke. You know, they got that this was, you know, they kind of put them all out there together. They weren't trying to sell them as wrestlers. They were selling them as what they are, attractions. That, I mean, people glop onto. I mean, you don't have, Snitsky is a fun character to have. I just don't think people, they don't want to see him in major storylines that, you know, the whole show revolves around. But, I mean, he's fun, and it's good to have the lighthearted stuff. And I like how they contained it to that one skit, and I think in that sense it worked.
Yeah, and speaking of Snitsky, he's such a great guy. I really wish that he would have gotten the opportunity to get over, and maybe he did, and maybe it just didn't click. But, I mean, he is that character that you can use as the bug-eyed, you know, it's not my fault type guy.
Yeah, that was cool. Let's ask, all right, Edge and Mick Foley, the flaming table, the whole nine yards, bloody, 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 and in the end, Edge continues his WrestleMania streak, and Foley continues his not-so-good WrestleMania streak. Your thoughts on this one?
You know what? I was happy to see that result, too, and the match, wow. For me, once again, knowing both guys, and knowing what would be in Mick's heart and in his head, to be able to give back to a guy like Edge, to be able to give back to the younger guys, is so means so much to him. I feel in just knowing Mick, being able to go out and have a brutal match like that. I mean, that was pretty brutal, and not as brutal as some, but they kept it in context, and I thought it was pretty damn good. I like the fact that Vince is now okay with flaming tables. I remember a time when he wouldn't have that stuff happen. I remember a time when he wouldn't let anybody spit in anybody's face because it was so crass. Uh-huh. You know, so many times change and things change, and I think that Nick realizes that too, that there has to be somebody to elevate these guys, and that's a match that will elevate Edge. It'll always be a highlight reel for Edge, you know, along with the ladder matches he's done with the Hardys and Dudleys and things like that. But I thought the brutality of it was great. great. I thought that the barbed wire wrapped around Nick's midsection in the beginning was great. The thumbtacks.
Yeah, but the claw, the mandible claw with the barbed wire, too, I thought was a good spot.
That was fantastic. You know, that stuff that people say, oh, my God. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for those, and I heard the Joey Styles, oh, my God, moment. So, mm-hmm. and that's, again, what people were looking for. I thought during that match, too, that the fact that JR introduced Styles and said, you know, he belongs here, that was sending a message to all the people.
That was cool.
You know, everybody talks about not reading the Internet, but you know those guys read the Internet. They know what's going on. You got to keep your pulse, your finger on the pulse of what the fans are saying, whether you admit to it or not. You have to. And both those guys knew going in that this was going to be a match that people are going to be expecting brutality. They're going to be expecting blood. They're going to be wanting to see what Nick will come up with new. And you know, it takes two to do it.
Yeah.
And actually, with Lita at ringside, you know, three. She's a trooper, man. She put up with some stuff too. So
she, I mean, she has, honest to God, as far as Lita's concerned, I think. And people fail to realize this, what she's done with her character and with just who she is. I mean, you could say it was born out of, you know, the thing with Matt Hardy and all that, but, I mean, 2 years ago, she was doing commentary on Heat with the coach to the point where people's ears were bleeding. I mean, it was so bad, and her character was so dead, and they had to do the thing where she broke her neck, and then Bischoff had her come out, and he made fun of her. And now she's, you know, she's managing somebody. She's an intricate part of Edge's character. I mean, I don't know if Edge can necessarily be the Edge that we know him to be now without Lita by his side. That's the whole point of the thing. And yeah, I think as a diva manager, she's actually doing her job really well.
Yeah, it all fit together, and then even taking the shot she's taken with the Matt Hardy deal, it's worked out. In again, it all came together last night, and I think Nick and Edge and Lita did a hell of a job, man. Every time I see Nick take that shot, you know, where Edge pulls his hair and he takes that flat back bump right on the metal grating, you know, that hurts, man. I don't give a shit who you are. That hurts.
Yeah.
Same way with the ladder matches. When you just lay on a ladder, if you've never laid on a ladder, find one, lay on it, see how it feels. Not to mention those guys are throwing the ladders at each other. Nick is throwing barbed wire and hit you with a barbed wire baseball bat. And you know, in regardless of what you want to say, yes, it's Hollywood, but I would venture to say that was real barbed wire. Don't know. But
yeah, I think they'd use rubber at a WrestleMania. I mean, that was more of a WCW kind of uncensored thing. It didn't look like it to me.
What's that? That it was real?
It looked real to me. I mean, it was the kind of thing where I couldn't really see it being gimmicked from what I saw.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, because I've heard some people say, oh, well, that's fake barbed wire. Well, I think Mick Foley, you know, just knowing, again, knowing what's in Mick's heart, knowing what's in his head, he wants to be authentic, and he doesn't want to, you know, it's kind of like the David Lee Roth Quiet Riot deal, man. Quiet Riot fills their Jack Daniels bottles with iced tea, and Dave's drinking pure Jack. You know, I mean, Mick Foley's a David Lee Roth. He's not going to compromise his integrity by having rubber barbed wire on his baseball bat. How sick is that? I think it's great. I mean, what the hell? I was impressed with that match. I was impressed with everybody in it because it was a hell of a match. I thought Edge sold the finish to a T. He was in shock. He was, my God, hurt. He wanted to get out of there.
Shaking,
you know,
that was great.
Huh?
Yeah, he was shaking. I thought it was great. I thought it was...
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what would happen in those circumstances. He wrestled the real boogeyman. Mick Foley is the real nightmare. You know, the guy who will... You're going to have to shoot him a couple times to stop him.
Yeah. And that was good. I think one of the things, and I'm going to get your opinion on this, because, I mean, Dave Wills actually did his WrestleMania thoughts yesterday. He said it. I've heard it from a lot of people. It's something that I said, too. Edge has the winning streak now. He's the WrestleMania standard bearer. I forgot how many he has now. I think it was like 6-0, 7-0, something like that. And Undertaker has the winning streak. Edge, Undertaker. Next year, Undertaker's streak ends. Do you think that's going to happen?
It depends on what happens throughout the rest of the year. I mean, there are so many elements to bring that would have to bring the Undertaker streak to an end. How hot will Edge get? Will he fall off the face of the earth? What's going to happen, man? Because the Undertaker is a smart guy. He's not gonna end his streak for just anybody. But it may come time, and I think the Taker is a generous guy, but he's also a smart guy, and he's gonna go for the right guy. It all depends if Edge can keep his career rolling along and keep it climbing and not stagnate, because that's death. He needs to become bigger, better, and keep rolling along to where it meets the Undertaker's winning streak. I mean, it has to qualify for Taker to be in the ring with him, number one, and number two, it has to qualify for Taker to do the honors and end his winning streak at WrestleMania. I mean, it's a pretty serious thing. You know, business is predetermined because it's all business.
Yeah.
And the Undertaker didn't get where he is by laying down for just anybody.
I think the reason why it's coming out so much now is because, you have Undertaker starting to wind down his career, which he's been doing for a couple of years now, but also Edge is one of the first people outside the Undertaker to really talk about having a streak at WrestleMania. I mean, that was always the kind of statement that was always reserved for the Undertaker. And very few people, and I think Edge might be the first one to come in there and say, you know, point blank, I haven't lost a WrestleMania. And a lot of people sat up and said, you know what, I didn't notice that, but yeah, no, he hasn't lost a WrestleMania. So if anything, it's going to be intriguing. I think it's an interesting setup for the next year.
And, well, why not, and once again, for the next year, the next year will be WrestleMania 23, but you also have to think about WrestleMania 25. Mm-hmm. What is going to be so special at WrestleMania 25? Will Taker still have his winning streak intact by that time? Will it be, 14 now last night?
What?
14?
Oh, Undertaker? Yeah, I guess it was, yeah.
Yeah, 14, so then 15, 16. So at 15 winning streaks at WrestleMania, then is it time for the quarter, the 25-year anniversary of WrestleMania for Taker's streak again? I mean, I don't know. Maybe next year, may not. It's an interesting theory, and it's interesting to think about, but there's other elements that really have to come into play before I would even consider that. I would watch Edge's career. I'd make sure he's healthy, because once again, he was getting ready for a big push when I believe he broke his leg.
Oh, against Angle, right after the haircut.
Yeah, I mean, it was there was a lot of things that happened to him right when he was just about to get started, and then he got taken right back down. So, I mean, it's an interesting concept, interesting theory, possibility, but a lot of things have to take place before that could happen, I think.
All right, well, let's move on to the next one. We got the Crippler, Chris Benoit, taking the U.S. title from the Internet's favorite wrestler, John Bradshaw Layfield. What do you think? What were your thoughts on the match and the outcome?
I believe John Layfield won.
Oh, actually, hold on a second.
Yes,
we have Bradshaw Layfield. I'm reading everything backwards because I'm tired.
John Bradshaw won last night.
All right, so he won. He took the belt from Chris Benoit. What did you think of the match and the outcome?
You know what? Here again, everybody bashes Bradshaw, and I don't. Because I understand his work ethic, and I understand where he's coming from. I like the match. Wasn't one of their best. Wasn't one of their standouts, I thought. But I like the fact that, once again, it's interesting when a title changes anytime to me. And because I want to know who he's going to work with next. And I want to know where Benoit's headed next. I mean, is Chris, I've read rumors on the internet that Benoit isn't as passionate about wrestling as he used to be, and I can understand that. Maybe Chris wants to take a break. Who knows? But I thought the match was pretty good. It didn't stink to join out, I thought. And I like the fact that a title changes, and I like the way it was done. I like the fact that John Bradshaw. JBL, as they call him up here, is a chicken shit heel. He's a guy who does not mind taking the easy way out. He doesn't mind taking having an advantage and going that route. And I mean, that's what a heel does. And he talks big, and he's a wrestling god and all that stuff. And people go, oh, my God, Jesus, please stop. Well, that's what you do when you're a heel. And I like the fact, too, here's another element about Bradshaw's character that I really enjoy. The fact that he talks about, it's like beating Jack Briscoe and Lou Thesz all in the same week. You know, he brings up these names that people say, who? And then if they care about it, they'll look it up on Google, and I don't know how many people do that or not. But some of the kids who have a passion for it might do that, and some of the old-time fans might remember the names. But I like the fact, I like the way he approaches not only his promos, but his matches. And, you know, that's my own personal feelings, but,
See, I'm actually going to agree with you about Layfield. I think Bradshaw, even from day one when he became JBL, the issue that I always took with him wasn't the character. I think he plays it great. I think he's a great heel. I think the whole thing works into him. My issue initially was that I think WWE pushed him as a new character too hard too soon. You know, going right for the world title right off the bat. And I think that now, a few years later, we're starting to see it because, I mean, here he is. He's the U.S. champion. And I would love it. I would love it if he was in the position to be one of the top guys. We're talking about the SmackDown roster and the main event level people that they have. And I think Layfield, with his character and his larger-than-life type of attitude, should be probably maybe a few notches higher up on the ladder, but hopefully, I mean, winning the U.S. title could be a good step back up to where he was before.
Well, certainly, and Bradshaw's one of those guys that the reason he got that push, and the reason he got that opportunity is because of his attitude. His attitude was show up, do his job, he's got the size, I enjoyed being around him. I traveled with him, and for some of the young guys, yes, he can be brutal, and yes, he'll teach you a lesson. But you know what? That's, in my opinion, that's another thing that's missing, except with guys like Bradshaw and some of the other veterans on the roster. He lets you know how the old school was and how you know, you do pay dues. And John had paid his dues, and he got that push. And he was there every night. He was ready to work. And he actually is an engaging person. He's intelligent. He can talk about any subject. You know, that gets over with some of those people who make the decisions. And that's the way John got his break. But he continued to who he is and get some of these talk shows and he got his own radio show and plays the stock market well and really an intelligent guy. So why not have somebody like that out in the front to represent your company? And that alone, well, not alone, but I mean that and his ability and the want to get better got him where he is.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely come together with his character. All right. Next match, this is the second one from the top, which surprised a lot of people. Money in the Bank, with a bizarre kind of lineup of people, not the names that you would expect to see in a ladder match situation. I mean, you had Rob Van Dam, you had Shelton Benjamin, people that you would see in that. Then you had guys like Ric Flair, Bobby Lashley. Who else did we have in that one? We had Dave Finlay, and we had Matt Hardy. And in the end, it was Rob Van Dam taking the briefcase. Your thoughts on this one?
Well, I was hoping, because Van Dam was the guy who could pull it off, and Kevin Kelly actually brought up the fact that Van Dam would win Money in the Bank and then possibly meet Triple H for the belt when Stephanie had the baby and let Van Dam have a run with the belt.
At the ECW show, right?
Yeah, it would be nice, but I don't know that that's going to happen either. I like the fact that Van Dam finally won at WrestleMania. He was featured at WrestleMania, and some of those spots those guys did, man. I wish they would have played the replay where Benjamin jumped from the top rope to the ladder, springboarded from the top rope to the ladder. You remember that?
Yeah, Benji, he's great.
He's incredible. And the like you said, the people in there I wouldn't have picked. Jim Lee is a tough guy, no doubt, but I have to question why. Well, anyway, I won't go there. The match I thought was fantastic for what they did, especially was incredible. Yeah, a guy like Lashley in there who's green, and my God, to be put in that match with those many people and all the hardware they had going on. Like I said, just laying on a ladder hurts, and those guys were taking shots. And man, I respect anybody that gets in there and does that stuff. So it was a great match, and I was very happy that Van Damme got the shot on that one, and I'm interested to see where that goes, because there was a time when Van Damme was going to get the call, and he was going to be the champion, and other forces and elements came into play, yeah. And we all know how that turned out. He wound up, you know, with knee surgery and things like that. So,
I mean, that's the question, though. I mean, is Van Damme in a position where they're going to, do you think, ever let him run with the ball? Do you think too much has been done? Do you think they're too keenly aware of maybe his attitude isn't the best when it comes to loving the company? Do you think WWE is aware that in the long run, he might not be one of those people who leaves WWE and has flowery things to say about them? And do you think that they want to kind of keep a WWE champion off of his resume for that reason?
Hey, never say never. I mean, Test said all kinds of derogatory things about WWE. He was hired back. Rob Van Dam, if the people and the powers that be are paying attention, now again, I don't know how much attention they're paying actually these days, but if they're paying attention and they see the popularity of Rob Van Dam, and they see that people want to see this guy as a champion, my God, they put the belt on Rey Mysterio. They put the belt on Eddie Guerrero. They put the belt on guys who nobody would ever think they would put their world titles on. Why not? Vince is the kind of guy who will say, what the hell? He's a maverick. Let's run with it. I don't give a shit. It's business. And I would hope so, because Van Damme is one of those guys. Somebody said it best, that he's the Antonio Rocca of the, you know, the new millennium. Rocca was not a great worker, but he could do spots. He was under traction.
Yeah.
Van Damme is not a tremendous worker in the sense that he can go out and weave a story, but he can do spots and weave them into a match.
Yeah.
And people enjoy his stuff. People want to see Rob Van Damme. So, why not? I hope they give him the opportunity, and I hope that, you know, it might be, I don't know, how long did Edge sit on his briefcase?
No, he sat on it from Mania until the following January, so that was almost 10 months.
Exactly. So, I mean, they don't have any time limit on when this thing has to happen, but Van Damme can always have that in his back pocket and pull it, and if they need a ratings boost, well, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Again, the brain trust these days, I can't speak for, and I don't know what's going on, but the fact alone that Van Damme got won the match last night says that they have something in mind for him down the road.
Well, I think it's going to keep people happy, too. I think a lot of people who tend to get turned off by who they're pushing and who they're not. I mean, Van Damme is one of those guys, much like Benoit was years ago, where there's a segment of people who really, really like Rob Van Damme and tend to not like a lot of the mainstream guys who are being pushed. And I think this is a good way to keep people tuning in, even when they're unhappy with the John Cenas and the Hunter Hearst Helmsleys of the world.
Yeah, and that's what, I think the whole show had that theme last night of we need to shake things up, we need to get people talking again. Van Damme has said time and time again, you know, he's not been given the opportunity. And I remember the WrestleMania in Houston during a Q&A, somebody asked Rob why he wasn't in WrestleMania. He said, that's a good question. You need to ask the creative.
Yeah, with the Miller White. Yeah, the Catfight girls were there, and I remember he said something to the effect of, he doesn't have time to be on the show, but they had the Miller Lite Catfight girls on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so, and maybe it's all coming back to the attention of creative and finally looking at their roster saying, you know what, man? Bam gets a hell of a reaction. And plus, they get the usual reports from the road. You know, Rob is busting his ass and doing what it takes, man. So, I hope he gets the opportunity to run with one of the belts.
Yeah. Final match that we're going backwards. So it was the opener of the show. Carlito and Chris Masters failing to win the tag team titles from Big Show and Kane. I mean, your thoughts on this one?
Well, it was definitely an opening match. It was not horrible. I don't know why Kane would do a dropkick other than the fact that he can. I would have liked to see more big man moves and things like this. I thought it was a pretty decent match and told a pretty decent story, but nothing that I really got all that enthused about.
There was nothing you wouldn't see on just a regular Raw. I think it was
right.
Yeah,
exactly. It was a Raw match. I mean, that was about it. It didn't ring WrestleMania to me. It just rang. Okay, if they would have won the belts, if they would have switched the belts, well then that it would have been a special moment, but that didn't happen. So, and I think myself, I think Carlito is extremely talented. Masters has a ways to go, but he's got potential. And if he can, I think he's another like Mark Henry. Not in the fact that he's lazy at all, but in the fact that he's trying to find himself. He's trying to find an identity where he's really comfortable in his own skin. He's still looking for that, I think. And once he finds that, man, if he ever does, which I think he will be one of those unstoppable guys. And he's still young, man. He's only like 20.
Yeah, he's
20
young
or 21.
Guy. Yeah, I think he's 21. Here's what I don't get about that match, and this is what kind of annoyed me a little bit, is that it seemed like after it was all said and done, there were either two reasons they were going to put this match together. It was either to get the titles onto Carlito and Masters, or to build up to their split. And in the end, it kind of looked like it was, again, a match done to build up to a split between Carlito and Masters. Problem that I had with it is that split had almost been finished. That was almost done about a month ago, and this tag team match was just put together almost inexplicably. It didn't really fit into the storyline context. They did the night where Master slapped Carlito in the face, which was maybe about over a month ago now at this point, I think.
Right.
And then they put this match together, which really didn't make too much sense, just to build up to another split, and it kind of seems like almost pointless. Like, you could have just split them then, and then maybe had the match happen at Mania between the two of them. I didn't understand the necessity to have this go into WrestleMania just to build up something that had almost been finished over a month ago.
Well, you need to have an opening match, and you need to have Big Show and Kane on the card. So how are we going to get them there?
Yeah.
Let's put them against Carlito and Masters. That's pretty much a pretty simplistic answer, but I'll bet you that's the way it happened.
Yeah.
Get them on the card, get them on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems lazy to me. I get the mentality, but it seems like they could have probably done more. I think Big Show and Kane are worth more as singles, I think, than they are as a tandem right now, unless they can really find a tag team to do something with them.
Yeah, but I'd be willing to bet that you and a lot of people who are probably listening right now or go to the site have put a lot more thought into this than half a creative does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, it's nice to think that there's a reason behind every match, but sometimes there's not a reason behind every match.
Yeah. No,
I
agree on that.
To get them on TV or get them on the pay-per-view.
All right, man. So top to bottom, we got all the matches done. Just two other, few other things we'll just get out of the way just to talk about. Your thoughts on the commentary. Jim Ross jumping in there with the sensational Michael Cole, Joey Styles and all them. What did you think about the way it played out? I personally thought JR was a great addition, and I think if this is the role they want to use him for, kind of that go-between the two brands, I think he's going to work.
Yeah, I think so too, and I was glad for JR being able to do this because, once again, he's been sitting at home and still helping out, but WrestleMania is the Super Bowl, and it, to be there is, it means something, and he knew it meant something. He was prepared. I thought he, man, all night long was strong, and he was, he never missed a beat. And I enjoyed the back and forth, and I really enjoyed the commentary on Vince Sean.
Yeah, well, I think
you know, it was something that I think a lot of people were wanting to have him there to call their matches, you know, and by all means, I like the role. And I think JR is comfortable now staying at home and helping. I believe he might be going on the road now and helping Joey get to that spot, because JR, you know, that's a grind every week. I'm sure he loves it and he enjoyed doing it, but I also think that he understands the time is now to start grooming somebody else, and I think he's all for helping out in that direction too.
Absolutely. Well, I think the thing with JR is he's got so much enthusiasm, and if you save that enthusiasm for the big money matches like WWE is doing with him, it kind of feels like it means more. And I think that he adds a lot to these contests. That, I mean, they're good matches, but when you have somebody watching it and calling it that really seems to be into it, as opposed to somebody who's kind of fielding all the voices they're hearing in their headset at the time, you can kind of sense the difference between a guy like Jim Ross and somebody who's really either just getting their feet wet or just trying to fake the emotion. You know what I mean?
Well, sure, but JR was at that stage at one time before too. You know,
yeah.
JR had to start somewhere too, and that's why JR is so understanding. And he gets it. And so that's a tough thing to do, man, when you're sitting at ringside and you have voices in your head telling you what to say or telling you where to go or tell a story. Don't use pronouns. Don't do this. Don't do that. Say this. Say this. Say that. Say that. And, you know, it takes a while to get there. And with patience and time, will come Joey Styles. I mean, hopefully Joey won't get too frustrated and give up, and I don't believe he will. I believe Joey's the kind of guy that wants to hang in there and learn. And you cannot learn from anybody better than JR, because JR has been in that position for so long. He gets it. And Vince has a hard, not a hard time, but his way of communicating sometimes during the broadcast. I've been in gorilla position when he's feeding lines to JR and King. He sometimes doesn't know how to convey his thoughts as clearly as he wants to. He knows what he wants to say, but to formulate the words to tell JR and King isn't exactly, and when they come back with their words, it's not exactly what he meant for them to say, so then he has to tell them what he meant to say, and by that time the thought has already passed and the time is gone. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that JR gets and understands and can give Joey enough leeway, I think, in helping produce him, that in the end, given time, Joey Styles will be just fine in that role.
Yeah, I know. All right, now the night before, we had the Hall of Fame ceremony. It played out a little bit at WrestleMania with a comment about Bret Hart. Your thoughts on just the Hall of Fame and you know, your thoughts on the whole thing?
I watched it on USA, and I know it was edited pretty heavy, but you know what? Here's my feeling on the Hall of Fame. I think it's great because I'm from the old school, and I appreciate any time Vince recognizes the guys who came before this generation. And, you know, guys even like Tony Atlas and the Blackjacks and Sherry Martel. Sherry Martel managed me and Pat Rose in Memphis, Tennessee. And I got to say, she is a genuine person. She's a great... Well, she's one of the boys. I mean, she gets it. And I had a great time with Sherry. I really did. I had a lot of fun with her in Memphis. Watching those people get inducted, recognizing them, even though we all know it's a work, and even though it's whatever it is, I mean, people don't take on stage, it means something. It's recognition for doing what they've done in the business, and I appreciated that. I enjoyed seeing Brett come to the stage, you know, even though he looked pale and hesitant, and I understand it's from a stroke, but I appreciated the fact that Brett got his say and maybe put some closure in his life, because, you know, with all the stuff that's gone on, yes, should Brett have dropped the belt to Montreal, by all means, but we all have our quirks, we all have our reasons for doing what we do, and Brett has his reasons for doing what he did. And to come back and finally get a little closure and to stand in front of the people and say what he wanted to say, in my eyes, that was a great tribute and send-off for Bret Hart. Everybody else, the same thing. You know, it's cool to see people who have done so much in the business get their due, and at least stand in front of the fans and some of the new fans who may not have seen these guys. You get to see the video clips and maybe get interested in what they did in their career, and go back and look up some of the highlights and find out who these people really were and why they're being inducted in the Hall of Fame. So I think it's a great thing to do. I'm glad they brought it back. And, I hope they keep finding the guys that really deserve to be there and give them their due.
See, I agree with you. I think this is it's definitely one of those cases where there's politics and there's something behind it. There's something behind everything in the business. But at least in this case, the sentiment, I think, is good. And even if it's based on whatever it could be based on, if these guys, if the people who are legends and getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, I mean, it means something to them. And in that case, I think it's a good thing. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, no doubt. And once again, I know the tradition will keep going on because there's still guys out there. And, you know, one day they're going to induct Flair, they're going to induct Shawn, Triple H, and Diesel, and Razor probably. You know, there's a lot of guys out there in Attitude Era that they'll probably induct. And when they do, man, people will go, because they're going to see the highlights of what they did, and they're going to say, oh, that was hot. Let me find out more about it, I hope.
Yeah. All right, Tom. Tell me. So overall, WrestleMania 22. How does that score with you?
Oh, I gotta give it a thumbs up. I was really anticipating kind of a low energy card, but everybody pulled out the stops, man, and I thought it was a pretty damn good show.
Awesome, Tom. Tom, thanks, man, for coming on, and you should be back on the site soon enough with another write up on something going on in this crazy industry.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, not a problem. I mean, I think at this point, if anything, you have enough. We've been given enough material that we'll have some things to chew on. Because prior to this, we didn't really have too much for the last.
Yeah, no kidding.
A couple of months, man. But it's been great, man. Thanks so much for being on, and if you guys get a chance, fans, we have a lot of stuff up on the site. We had a chat room up for WrestleMania, so a lot of your thoughts are up there too. And again, Tom, thanks again, man.
Very good. Thank you.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.